Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cinema Wave Podcast. We're back in the dojo for this episode, this review of Season 6, Part 1 of Netflix's Cobra Kai. I am one of your hosts. My name is Darian Scalamoni. I am joined, luckily, this week, making her debut at the desk by Ella Lambiazzi.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. And also Michael Peniston.
Hello, everybody.
All right. Lots to talk about, guys. There's a lot to talk about. This show... So I want to start by talking about like the inception of what this show is, because I know a lot of people, this is one of Netflix's most popular shows now, and I don't know if everybody knows this, but this show didn't start as a Netflix original. And I remember it came out on YouTube Premium, which is what it's called now, but it originally was called YouTube Red when they were in like the scripted circle. And I remember subscribing to YouTube Red with my brother specifically for this show. So I've been watching this show literally since it came out in 2018, where I feel like a lot of people might have jumped on the bandwagon once it got to Netflix, when Netflix acquired it. But for the people that are obviously watching this review, you know that this is a sequel series to the Karate Kid franchise. And the whole thing is just crazy. Like, we know in the like, these are grown men and teenagers, and now they're young adults playing teenagers that are fighting each other every day through the means of karate. In 2024. And it's wild. We all know that, right? But Ella, I want to know first why you jumped into the show when you did, and what are your just like broad non-spoilery thoughts on so far what you've seen with Season 6 on Netflix?
Okay, so my dad was actually the one who introduced me to the show, because I saw Karate Kid when I was like younger, but it didn't really... he showed me a lot of movies when I was younger from like the 80s or whatever growing up. But then once it was coming to Netflix, he's like, you guys have to watch this show. It's like this new sequel to the Karate Kid movies. And I'm like, oh, like, didn't you show me that when I was a kid? He's like, you have to rewatch it. And like, he was like annoyingly obsessed with it to the point where I didn't really want to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I did. I watched the Karate Kid again. And then I watched the second one. And then I started watching Cobra Kai, I guess, when it came out on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I wish I had.
Season 3, I feel like, right?
So, yeah, so I guess I wish I discovered it a little bit sooner, but he's like, you're going to like the drama with the kids and the romances and like all that stuff. I'm like, okay, like I'll give it a try. And I did, and I'm really glad that I did. And after 5 seasons of chaos, now we have Season 6, which is pretty good. It's chaotic, but I'm excited to see what happens. I can't really like judge it fully yet.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, we're only a third of the way through what Season 6 is going to fully encompass. Michael, what are your broad thoughts on Cobra Kai and your influence on the franchise in general?
So I also kind of had a similar experience getting into Cobra Kai. I remember when it first came out, when it was the first 2 seasons.
First 2 seasons were on YouTube Red,
So I definitely didn't watch those when they came out, to the point where, because it was on YouTube Red, I thought it was just so corny. I don't know why.
I feel like a lot of people did.
Yeah, I don't know. And so it was just, I don't know why. I guess because it was a new sort of thing. I don't know. But my sister was watching it on YouTube Red at the time. And so she was the inspiration to kind of bring me into it. I started watching it when it came on Netflix. And I agree. I also wish that I wasn't as dumb. It's such a good show. And I also love the Karate Kid movies as well. Both the originals and Jaden Smith. Got to show some love to my boy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? Season 6. It's just like kind of like completely different states coming into this. I always felt like with Cobra Kai, there was like a level of drama that like, you weren't getting from not even like the older films, but honestly at the time when I started, it was like just a new form of drama. I don't know if it was because it was involving the mixed martial arts and all of that, but I don't know, I always felt like this was a show that relied heavily on like the story and being able to continue, like you said, a sequel of it all. And coming into Season 6, I felt like they kind of maintained that, but also dropped the ball in a few areas. I'm going to wait just because spoilers will come with that.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of how I feel season
6. No, I definitely agree with what both of you guys are saying. Again, as someone who watched it, like, I think I probably watched it like a month after it dropped. And I remember I had never seen any of the Karate Kid things before I watched Cobra Kai, which was an interesting experience. So I watched all of season 1, then went back and watched Karate Kid for the first time. Loved it. And like, again, my dad loved it. My brother was born in 1990. So when he saw it, he was probably like, I don't even know, maybe 10 years old and was obsessed with it. Like, he loved Karate Kid. And my brother and myself and my dad all did karate as young people. Like, my brother did it until he was 16. I did it till I was 12. My dad did it in his 50s. So it was just like, that added another layer of it for me. And I agree with what you were saying, Michael, too, in terms of like the drama and the stakes were, it just felt different. Like, it was more adult, but it still played off the nostalgia. And I think we've gotten more of that as the seasons have gone on. Mm-hmm. And to add on what you were saying, Ella, and what your dad alluded to, like, so much of what helps the show, I feel, is the relationships that are built. And in the beginning, I remember so much of the story, again, was so reliant on the flip side of what Karate Kid was, right? It's Johnny Lawrence as an adult. And then you start to see the dynamic of his child and Daniel LaRusso's family and this outcast Miguel that he kind of takes under his wing. And it just keeps getting amped up and amped up and amped up. And now we're at this climax because we're at the final season. I am curious, Ella, what you think before we go into the spoilery details. When you first heard that they were going to do season 6 in 3 parts, how did you feel about that? And do you think that they are doing it in an effective way based on the first 5 we've seen? Or do you think it would have been better to maybe either separate it somewhere else or maybe drop the whole thing at once? Or
honestly, I feel like if it dropped all at once, just like how I watched season 5 and 4 and 3, I would have finished it in like a day and it could have easily just stopped like being talked about right after that. So I kind of like that they're doing it in 3 parts, even though it like sucks because I want to know like what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I know some people really don't like it. I feel like it shouldn't be as far apart as it is. Like, maybe if this was going to come out in October, even a month like shorter, because I feel like November is like a really long time. And then third part isn't even coming out until 2025. Yeah. Like, you don't know if that's January or February or even later. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of sucks, because I don't even know what to expect like from part 5 either. So it's like, that feels like it's going to be an entirely different season, kind of.
But yeah,
I like that they're dragging it out because it gives me like more of the show and something else to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah.
But I also kind of wish they just dropped out maybe half of it or something.
Yeah. I don't like how, and Mark and I have talked about this previously on our episodes of The Acolyte, but I think that there's like this weird thing in the industry where streaming services feel that if it's not going to be like an even number of something, it needs to be in like increments of 5. Mm. So it's like, oh, we're going to do like the first 5 and the second 5 and the third 5. And I'm like, I wish they would have split it in half, especially based on what you were just saying, Ella. Like, thinking that we're going to have the first part of the show in July and then we're not going to get the conclusion of this series and this season until... even if it comes out in January, that means
it's
we're getting
still
it.
Next year.
It's next year. Like, what? And it's just not the type of show, as much as I love it, that it necessarily needs that to give it legs. Cause it's not like Cobra Kai is not competing for awards. It's not going to be nominated for Emmys. It's in it for the fans. And that's so much of like the fan base has been so extensive throughout the years when it came to Netflix. Michael, how do you feel about the 3-part sort of rollout?
So I'm actually just now finding out that it's 3 parts.
You thought it was 2?
I did. I thought it was 2 this whole time. And so that definitely makes me relook at the entirety of this season now. 3 just feels like such an odd number to spread it out. Now also hearing that it's going into 2020. This is all news to me. Like, yeah, wow, yeah. Where was I? hearing that it's coming out in 2025. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I agree 100% with both of you guys. It would have been a lot smarter to do it in 2 parts. I feel like it would have hit harder. The buildup would have been a little better. I do believe that people will still probably forget about the show after a while. I mean, like, they'll watch it when it comes back out, but it's going to be very forgetful, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like, I think it's one of those situations where how you brought up where it's like, it could be, like, if they just dropped it all at once, that could be very forgetful. I feel like it's like it could happen either way sort of situation. So but the half would have been a lot better just because it's too much.
Well, that's what I think about too, with like the example I think of is like Stranger Things, which does have a bigger and a deeper fan base than Cobra Kai does. But like, that show costs more money. It's more epic.
Yeah.
And they did that in the last season in 2 parts. And they split it up by like 4, I think it was like 4 episodes and 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. And they were like insanely long. Like, I think the last three episodes were all like over an hour and 20 minutes. So they were all basically like three movies, which is unique. And Netflix obviously doesn't do that for anybody. Like Stranger Things kind of put them on the map. But at the same time, I think it hurt Cobra Kai in a sense to do it this way. And we can get into the spoiler talk now. So just warning for the audience, we are going to talk spoilers, obviously, about season six, part one of Cobra Kai. And I'll just start by saying, like, this was the first time that I can remember that I felt like it halted momentum as soon as the season started. It was weird. It was like it had been, and it's been so long since we've seen it that I kind of forgot about it, like the show in general. So Ella and I were talking off screen before we started recording. The last time we saw a new season of Cobra Kai, it was September of 2022. So we are almost 2 years removed from everything. And a big part of what last season was, and in my opinion, maybe you guys disagree or agree, which we could definitely talk about it, so much of that season was based on Terry Silver. Terry Silver's gone from the equation. Terry Silver's one of my favorite characters in the Karate Kid canon because of how fucking crazy he is. And they amp it up to 10 in Cobra Kai. So I don't know if you guys felt similar, and Elle, we'll start with you. Like, I just felt that luckily as the episodes went on, I started getting more excited. Like episodes 4 and 5, I really enjoyed, but then you stop and now we're not getting any new episodes till November. Meanwhile, the start of this season to me got off like to way too slow of a start. And we were just kind of lamenting on the kids and just waiting to see who the team was going to be for the Sakai Taikai. So what was your takeaway? You can talk spoilers of the first 5 episodes that we've seen.
I definitely feel like the second half of the season was a lot stronger because, yeah, the beginning felt really slow. But I also felt like last season, as someone who's not as big of a Terry Silver fan, I still like him and I think he's a really great character. But I felt like they focused on him and the adults like a lot last season. And I love like the drama between all the kids and stuff.
Okay.
So I felt like last season, like Miguel and Robbie becoming friends, like that happened way too quickly. They went from being mortal enemies in episode 5 to suddenly being like besties in episode 6. Like, I felt like that was really rushed, and I wish that they were still kind of like iffy, and then maybe the beginning of this season like built on the relationships forming, which it did. It did with Sam and Tori, but that also felt really forced, just like them being thrown into a double date with their exes.
Yeah,
like I didn't like that. I thought it was really awkward.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, it just felt really weird, and like this is like how you're gonna try to make them friends, but then, you know, Johnny goes on and tries to make Sam and Tori fight again, like with their sleepover and stuff. I don't know. I felt like it was slow, but there were moments I liked, like that, like the sleepover.
Okay.
Stuff like that. And Johnny's humor. But then there was like Johnny trying to find a house and them going to college. Like, I don't know. They're doing
side plots just for the sense of now kind of filling time.
Yeah.
I think. And maybe you agree, because of how much time they need to fill. Like, there's never even been a season of Cobra Kai that's been 15 episodes.
Exactly. But maybe that's why they're doing a like slower episodes, because like, I don't know, every like season 5 felt very jam-packed and there was like a lot going on all the time. And maybe the first 3 episodes being like slower was okay because they're just like coming out of such a storm or something, and they're preparing for the storm now, like another thing to come.
Yeah.
So I kind of like just seeing the slow interactions, but could it have like picked up pace a little bit? Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Michael?
Yeah, I definitely agree as far as it's starting off very slow. I agree that the later half of this season, or at least this part, should I say, was a lot stronger. I will say that I do think that we have way too many storylines going on. Mm. And not only that, at a certain point, I had to stop and ask myself, do we have too many characters going on now?
Well, characters that they... characters that they make a choice to focus on.
Yeah.
Where you don't necessarily need to.
Yeah.
So I would agree with that.
And not even just that. We're still coming off of what's it called? Because we're still coming off of so many of those characters being thrown at us in previous seasons with heavy storylines and plots. They still have to kind of finish those. And so it's like... Like a character like Kenny, for example.
Kenny. Oh my God.
Like, I feel like... like his character, even how it started with his older brother this season, like I was like, all right, this is like we're really jumping into this. But like then like by like the next time you saw the brother who came off really aggressive, all of a sudden he's like, you know what, little bro, They're
maybe
good.
You should listen to the rest.
It took them. It took them 15 minutes of storytelling for them to completely flip those characters. And my biggest flaw, I think, with this show, and I noticed this, I was saying to you, Ella, off camera, I noticed this in the recap video that I watched after, because I had no, I remembered a lot of it, but I was like, let me go back and see how much shit has actually taken place in the 6 years the show has been on the air. These characters flip-flop like it's nobody's fucking business. Like, like every, all right, so you, even if you just think about the first four main kids, Miguel, Robbie, Sam, and Tori, they've dated one another, they've fought with one another, they've loved each other, they've hugged, they've kissed, they've beaten the shit out of each other, one paralyzed another, they had karate dads, they had real dads, real parents. Yep. Like, there's so much that happens just with those four characters that it doesn't make sense logically that they're going to keep flip-flopping or we're going to keep creating this melodrama just for the sake of creating another rift between characters. And this show, as much as I do really enjoy the show, it's become very manipulating. It's becoming manipulating in a way where, as maybe like you said, Michael, like you sit there and you ask yourself, like, is there too much happening right now? Because now LaRusso's son is now a main player. And I mean, Kenny had a built up story. Then he kind of got thrown away and he gets ridiculed to getting into a fight with his brother. Then he joins Miyagi-Do and then he shits himself. That's Kenny's arc. That is Kenny's arc in season six, part one. And that's problematic because his character was very impactful in seasons four and five. So I definitely agree with you, Michael, in terms of like way too many things happening. Do you feel the same way about the show?
There's always way too many things happening. And as much as I love it, yeah, there's always stuff happening. Yeah, I don't know. It's insane. And I think that the plots with the choosing for the Seikai Taikai, like, there are so many characters that Hawk is also another character to think of in this case, because we have the main four, but Hawk is always flip-flopping too.
Yeah.
And he loses his confidence, he changes his hair, and I think it's kind of ridiculous that he wasn't automatically chosen, and a lot of people are hating on that.
I would agree with that.
Because, like, I don't know. I think everything with Kenny was like weird too in the beginning, and he flip-flopped and now he's just totally gone. And people are saying that maybe he's going to come to Cobra Kai, because I don't know how they built up his character so much and now he's just not going to be.
Kenny, you're talking about?
Yeah, Kenny, yeah. In the Seikai Taikai. And that's what I was originally thinking with Hawk too. I'm like, how can he just not be there? So like, that's why I kind of had a feeling that something was going to happen at the end of the season with like Tori or something, because I don't know how that character can't be there, especially because he dyed his hair like the American flag.
Yeah, yeah.
To, well, represent.
Also, Hawk is a former All-Valley champion. He's probably, exactly, objectively, one of the best martial artists on the show. And I do feel like that whole storyline with Dimitri gets shoehorned in.
Yeah.
And it also gets way too dramatic, way too quick.
It's another flip-flop because they're always fighting each other. Exactly. And then they make up and then he breaks his arm and then they go back and now he's betraying him. And I don't think Dimitri like deserves that spot over Hawk by any means.
Yeah, I think that they are. It's hard to say because the writers do a good job at times of really establishing these. They do a good job of establishing the one-on-one relationships with characters, because there's so much of the dynamic of, they've managed to make every one of these characters work with one another, which is very unique. That's a hard thing to do, whether you take when Sam was dating Robbie and then Miguel was having conversations with Robbie and her, as well as Tori. And they showed that all these characters have range and these actors have range, having different conversations with different people. The problem, though, is that they keep going back to the same exact formula. And at some point, I mean, when you talk about 65 episodes the show is going to end on, like, that's a lot of television to be flip-flopping stories. And I do get it. People want more. Like, there's so much baked in that Karate Kid DNA that they were able to squeeze out, whether it's the Karate Bad Boy, which we can get into, and Chosen now has a different role in this season too. Like, so you didn't like Chosen in this season.
I just think they ganged up on Johnny, like, right in the beginning. I felt like the whole name thing in the beginning, like naming the dojo, was kind of like established last season. And I'm like, are we just like repeating this right now? Because Hawk and Dimitri start off the season by like revealing the the new name for the dojo, and it's Miyagi-Fang. And that's what they said last season, like, when they finished their little tournament, and they're like, the Seikai Taikai's like, well, what should we call you? And then they said Miyagi-Fang, and I'm like, okay, well, I thought we, like, established this already, but okay, I guess we're doing it again. And then Daniel and Chosen are like, no, it should be, like, Miyagi-Do. And Johnny's like, well, like, I don't know. So I felt like they both ganged up on Johnny a little bit, and Chosen's very, like, he's very Miyagi-Do oriented, and that makes Daniel go back to being Miyagi-Do oriented. And I don't even want to get into how annoying Daniel was this season. He's just way too much.
Oh, let's get into it. Michael, you made a face. Wait. Michael, you made a face. I want to hear your thoughts, and then we can get into it.
Daniel, I feel like, has been pissing me off the past two seasons. I mean, Buddy looks good. I mean, I'll give him
Ralph
that.
Ralph Macchio looks great.
Right? He looks great. He looks great, but he has been pissing me off. So, like, I just feel like he's so, like, I don't know, like, so, like, particular to, like, how he needs to think that it's, like, he's so kind of, like, close-minded to a lot, you realize, to the point where, and I get Johnny can be, like, a nuisance, and, like, not everything he's doing is probably, like, the best at times, but, like, you really can see through their relationship where he can play the villain at times, you know, sort of thing, and it's just, like, he kind of whines a lot, and then this specific season, I just feel like, for me, what really did it was the whole storyline with this whole Botsing Mr. Miyagi, like, secret subplot that we just got out of nowhere all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And, like, now he's, because of this, like, now he, like, is seeing, I feel like Mr. Miyagi is, like, I hate to say it like this, but he treats Mr. Miyagi like his god sometimes. Like, if you say this about Mr. Miyagi, then da-da-da-da, and, like, like, Mr. Miyagi could never be this way, and, like, when he finds out that, like, he is a certain way, that he has, like, a midlife crisis. It's, like, it's just strange to me. It's, like, it really made me annoyed this
It's season. Also weird, though, how they're manipulating the lore of how the whole, like, so much of the relationship that this whole franchise is built upon is the relationship between Daniel and Mr. Miyagi. So now they're shoehorning a different thing with Mr. Miyagi. And it's not like you can bring the fucking character back. The guy's dead. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. Again, if he was alive and he was willing to act and they were able to do it in a cool way, I'd be so down for this. But now you're going to lead us down this subplot that's going to have no payoff.
Yeah.
Because the guy isn't even there to act out the character that people fell in love with. And like you said, Michael, like, he definitely treats him like a god because of, he feels that he was essentially like a father figure to him and on even on a deeper level gave him his love of karate, which he, I mean, so much so that he had fucking bonsai trees given out at his car dealership. But like, I do agree. There's certain things with his character that get annoying, but it's even weirder because Johnny has become Johnny is the focus of the show no matter what. Like, if you think about it, he was the main focus when the show started. The show is called Cobra Kai. It's not called Miyagi-Do. So it's based on his original dojo. And so much of the story flows through Johnny. And William Zabka also is unbelievably great as this character. Not that Ralph Macchio is not good as LaRusso, but there's just so much deeper, like, character arcs and just, I feel like Zabka has a different sense of the character than LaRusso does at this age, or that Macchio has at this age as LaRusso. And he's got great one-liners. He actually learns from his lessons. He still sticks to what he believes in, but at the same time, he can learn from his mistakes, where I feel like Macchio is not doing that as Daniel LaRusso. Ella, go ahead, because I know you have a lot to say.
When we were going back to the character flipping all the time, I know Johnny and Daniel's, like, dynamic is to fight with each other, because they always have been, but, like, at the end of the season, they just got into another huge fight. While the whole season, they were trying to progress on coming to terms with, like, a name. And in the past seasons, it's been like, okay, like, Sam is using Johnny's tornado kick in the tournament, and Daniel accepts it. But then now he won't accept, like, Johnny training the students or taking them out for the day. And then he, like, gets mad, and he brings them to train themselves. And then Johnny gets mad seeing him train. Like, it's just, they're going back to the same stuff. I feel like they should just do something new. Like, Johnny and Daniel fight with each other, and that's true. But now they're going into the Seikai Taikai fighting each other, probably. I mean, we don't know what happened in these months from the when Tori, like, leaves to now. But, like, I don't know. I just feel like their dynamic just, it's just, always flip-flopping too much at this point, and it should just stop, and they should come to terms with how each of their styles are important, and you need a little bit of both, and their dojo should represent that.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were, but now they're going back to just being Miyagi-Do.
Yeah, it's so much of the same rinse and repeat. It's like, oh, did we learn our lesson from last season? We did. No. Let's keep it for half the season, and then let's go and do something else.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Because the beginning of the season is Johnny trying to accept Miyagi-Do, and it's just, then they don't, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree. I know you said you had seen some theories online.
Yeah.
Do you want to discuss some of the things that you've seen that maybe, or maybe if you have a theory? And I know, Michael, you're a big theory guy, so we'll go to you next. Cause,
I love the theory.
Yeah.
Well, going back to the whole Miyagi thing, you mentioned that, he can't come back as a physical character on the show, and like, how is it going to really tie in? People are saying, and I actually kind of agree with the fact, that maybe Master Kim and them in Korea right now, they're related, maybe somehow, or related to the story of Miyagi being in the Seikai Taikai, or stealing the artifact or whatever he stole. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was from Master Kim or something like that.
Interesting.
So people think that they could be their brothers, or they could just be related somehow in the past or something, and they could have been nemesises in the Seikai Taikai. That's why he has a headband, and that's why they're training. So that's one theory that's going around, and that could maybe connect this whole Miyagi storyline that's been going on that I feel was kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just felt like there's also a term on the internet going around called Miyagi glazing. That means Daniel is a Miyagi glazer, which, it means that he, like, looks at him like his god. And basically that's, like, what everyone's opinion of Daniel is, and I totally agree. This season,
God,
he really annoyed me.
Funny. I love that shit so much. Michael, how do you feel about the term Miyagi glazing?
I feel like it makes so much sense too. I feel like it's I feel like it's Daniel to a T, because that man will ruin a relationship for Miyagi-Go. Wow, glazing is hilarious. Glazing is hilarious.
It is really funny, objectively.
But I agree 100% as well, though. I feel like I don't know. I just feel like it's so much as far as Daniel. Oh God, it is a whole lot of glazing. All right, let me get into the theory though that you're talking about. If you were done, I don't know if you had anything.
With that one, at least. I mean, okay. We could talk about more later once. Mm-hmm.
I definitely did want to talk about that one though, just because I can see that sort of storyline playing out, where I didn't think about it being like a relationship sort of thing, like whether like it is like family or stuff like that, but I do see them having some sort of connection to each other from the past. I definitely do see where the boxing might get involved with that, just because they were doing some dirty fighting styles to the point where it's almost like you kind of have to change up like martial arts to a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where Mr. Miyagi was like Creed all this time all of a sudden. So I agree. I also don't like that they just shoehorned that storyline in there.
Yeah.
But if it's going to take us to a place where we're seeing like a new form of martial arts that we've never seen in Karate Kid, then maybe that could be cool.
That could be cool. Yeah. Let me ask you this question, both of you. Mm-hmm. And we'll start with you, Michael. Are we, though we love this show, as a whole, are we growing sick and tired of Cobra Kai? I know we're on the last season, but is there a sense from our viewing experience that there are elements of this same monotonous sort of tone and character choices and writing that we're getting to a point now where it's just kind of wearing itself thin?
Yes, definitely. I think at this point, like we've said it a bunch of times in this talk already, like it is the same storyline every season. At this point, I think it's like you said, it's such a fan thing at this point that you're just waiting to see how it'll end. I do think that they've dragged this out. I do think that maybe this could have ended last season.
I thought the same thing.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I'm definitely happy that this is how we're ending and this is the end. I'm definitely done with it. I know that we have a whole another Karate Kid movie, so I don't know if, like, now we're seeing a world being built and this kind of will play out into it. I hope not. But I think that they did everything they could with Cobra Kai, like to the point where like I was like, why are we even like call? I know we need Cobra Kai in this season just for it to still be Cobra Kai. But when Stingray was like still like doing the whole Cobra Kai thing, I was like, all right, why? I'm done with this, guys. So I don't know. I'm over it.
Okay, man. Ella.
That last part with Stingray, that's where another theory kind of comes in, if I could go into that.
Oh, Jesus. Really? Stingray theory? Okay.
So people,
I love Paul Walter Hauser, but let's hear it.
Because of how Johnny... yes, I am definitely sick of the Cobra Kai repeating the same storylines, especially with Johnny and Daniel. So that makes me think that maybe Johnny's not going to stick with Miyagi-Do in the end and somehow revamp his own Cobra Kai. But I know the whole thing is that he doesn't want to do something like Kreese. But there is, like, a leak coming from, like, the Seikai Taikai stuff that shows, like, Miguel in a Cobra Kai gi and Sensei Lawrence on the screen, and under it it says Cobra Kai. So people are thinking that somehow he's going to start his own Cobra Kai again. But I don't really see how that could be possible at the Seikai Taikai with another Cobra Kai team already. Yeah. So I don't know, but I don't know. I think that's, like, interesting that people think that. And also, the first episode of the whole series is called, like, Ace Degenerate. And the last one is something degenerate too. So people think that it's going to like end with Miguel and Johnny like it started. So maybe it means they'll both end in Cobra Kai, because then that'll hopefully put a stop to the flipping between Miyagi-Do. Because I don't think this Miyagi-Do thing with Johnny's going to work.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Because
it's just going back and forth and Daniel's like not going to like change.
I mean, again, how much also can you just fill 10 episodes with the same exact shit? I mean, I guess you can. There has to be a flip. Again, I mean, they're known for their flips. There's the, like, Johnny's going to have to leave Daniel at some point, and there's going to have to be a separation between the two of them. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because, again, like, we've made it now to the Seikai Taikai, and maybe that tournament takes up all of part two.
I think it will.
And then what do we do in part three? Like, what is there to be figured out? I
think something bad has to happen in part three. Like, people, or part two, people are saying that maybe someone's going to, like, die or something.
I can see that.
Because I'm thinking, like, I was thinking of even, like, the Rocky movies and how, like, Apollo died in the exhibition match, like, in a whole different, like, area. Yeah. So, like, this is something they haven't, like, dealt with before. And maybe the new character, Quan, could be, like, an enemy. People are saying, like, Robbie's going to get hurt and then Miguel's going to get the captain headband. And because people just, like, don't want Robbie to win because they want Miguel to win. And I'm a Robbie fan, so I would be happy if he won.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't won anything, really.
Yeah, I feel bad. There's that whole, like, montage where he's, like, second place. You're never good enough for anything.
But they gave him the win for the captaincy, which I really liked because Sam and Robbie are really the ones who were the first Miyagi-Do students.
Yeah.
So I feel like they should both be captains. But people are, like, thinking maybe, like, Tori and Miguel could be Cobra Kai captains and stuff like that. And maybe, I don't know, there's so many, like,
and then they
theories.
Cheat on each other's spouses with one another.
Again. No. Like, I love the drama between the four of them. I liked Sam and Robbie when they were together, but then I can't believe she cheated on him. And I hated her for so long, Sam. Like, she was, like, the worst, like her father. And then she's better this season. Like, she hasn't really annoyed me. Yeah. But
no, it is interesting, though, that just the dynamic of how much of it is based in those relationships. But I do agree with both you guys, too. Like, it got me hooked a little bit towards the back end because I was interested in starting to see more of the focus, I guess, in the last two episodes of this part one being on the karate again. Mm-hmm. Because so much of the first three episodes is not based in that whatsoever. Yeah. And it's like, well, that's what the fucking show is. It's called Cobra Kai for a reason. Yeah. But I think they could have done this in like a two-part thing, and they could have had maybe a couple episodes leading up to picking the team. And then we could have started with the Seikai Taikai, had like a big turning point. Maybe even if like, it would be a huge...
If someone like dies.
No, I wouldn't even say somebody died, but even if you leave it on the cliffhanger of like, we're leading into the finals of the tournament and then I have to wait till November for the finals. It's like, they've done that before. And
yeah.
I would be okay with that because to me, that was a really good cliffhanger in the one time they had done it for, I think it was the end of one season going into another. And there's not as much time, like... The fact that we're not going to know the end of the show until 2025 still is just mind-boggling.
That's why it feels like a different season or something. Like, it feels like it's so far away.
Yeah.
They could have even done, like, weekly episodes or something. And I know they're only 20, 30 minutes, so maybe that wouldn't have worked. But still, that would have dragged it on long enough, and people would have still been interested, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
All right. I want to ask you guys both, through part one of season six, who is your MVP of the season so far? And who is the person that you want to see more from going forward in part two? Michael, I'll start with you.
I feel like my MVP for sure of this season, I think I'm going to have to give it to... I think I'm going to have to give it to Miguel right now. Miguel.
Okay.
Just because one scene from this season that I feel like they did perfectly was the frat house fight. I loved that
fight. Yeah, that was great.
I really liked that fight, but I liked how Miguel carried himself throughout all of that. Like, that was really big to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that I have any hate on Robbie. I also really like Robbie as well. But I just, so far, Miguel has been an MVP, I feel like, for me. As far as who I'd like to see more from, they really nerfed my boy Kenny. I mean, like,
they did.
Like, I would have liked to see some storyline come out of that. And I was really interested in, like, this Kenny and, like, the younger LaRusso storyline.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe that could become something big. And I feel like they kind of nerfed that whole storyline to a degree. You could tell that they're definitely, like, setting some storylines up to be, like, spaced out and filled. So, like, I can see, like, this whole young LaRusso, Kenny, and, like, the poop thing and, like, that being spread out, obviously. And maybe that even becomes a bigger storyline in part three.
Especially because he didn't do it.
Yeah, you know?
Which is, that's at least a good breadcrumb.
Yeah.
I feel like going forward for part two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then, even just aside from that, I always kind of liked Kenny's character. And I just felt like, I always felt for him in all of it. And so, I'm really mad that they nerfed his character. I would like to see a lot more from him.
Yeah. Ella?
I think I'll start with the person I want to see more of.
Okay.
I think definitely Tori. I think she was one of the MVPs this season, but I know we haven't really talked about it yet, but what happened with her at the end of the season was, like, crazy. And I think she had a good season, but I think I want to see more of her. And I'd say that Robbie was probably the MVP of the season because he finally won something. Because people on the internet are like, hating because they feel like he shouldn't have won, or it's just for plot armor or whatever. And I don't know, I just think he should have deserved that win because he hasn't won anything. And like I said before, him and Sam were the Miyagi-Do captains, which feels right because they were the beginning of Miyagi-Do. But I also agree, I think Miguel had a good season too because he's working for going to college, and I like that arc too. But then him and Robbie have that fight outside the house.
Yeah.
Where Robbie's like, what, do you, like, think that my life's not important because I don't have college? Like, the Seikai Taikai could get him out of his, like, juvie and give him something. Like, Miguel has won the All Valleys, and he has something on his shoulders that could maybe help him already. But I think they both deserve it, but I don't know. I could see both sides. Like, I love Robbie and Miguel.
Yeah.
But I've just always loved Robbie a little bit more because I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He was kind of an asshole in the beginning. I don't.
Well, I think every character has had an asshole. Excuse me, an asshole arc.
Yes, I've always thought show, that. Everyone.
Yeah. Which is so true. So, characters I want to see more from first. Hawk's always been one of my favorite characters. Always. And it's just so interesting to see that this guy came from winning the last All Valley tournament to now where he's at. And I don't love that arc for him. So I would like to see more from him. And Robbie's actually another character I want to see more from because I would love for Robbie to win. Mm-hmm. Like, he is my pick who I would like to win if I could pick anyone from the male side to win the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's great that he became captain, but I think we're going to have to wait and see what comes of that. So those are the two that I want to see more from. My MVP forever and always is Johnny Lawrence. I just think that, like, and I know we haven't mentioned the adults because Machio has been on everybody's mind. But William Zabka is so good in this role, even, like, 40-plus years later, that there's just, like, there's so many great lines of dialogue that nobody else would be able to deliver in such a way that is so, like you said, Michael, like, he comes off as a nuisance, but you can't help but laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wrote one of the quotes down because it was so funny to me. So it's when he's doing his private training session and LaRusso wasn't there, and he goes, "Foreign kids don't speak English, but they do speak karate." And that line to me is just like Johnny Lawrence to a T. Like, and nobody understands their character. Which, again, you can't fault the kids. They've only been playing this character for 6 years. This guy's known this character for 40-plus years of his life. And he was never known for anything else. You know what I mean? Like, Ralph Macchio ended up doing other things.
Yeah.
Like, this is Zabka's thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he'll always be my MVP as long as they don't torpedo his character. And I've loved him this season, again, despite, like, there being some moment. Like, even certain scenes in the housing, like,
No, they were so funny.
It's just so ridiculous.
He had a really funny one-liner when they were having the sleepover. I forgot exactly what it was, but like right in the beginning, he said something like about bringing like their tampons.
He's like, so funny. What did he say? He's like, I brought sandwiches and tampons.
Yeah, like, what like, an insane thing. Because Devin was like, oh, I brought nail polish, and she was like, I brought this. And, like, oh my god, that was so,
so
funny,
so ridiculous.
And that whole scene was so like Johnny Lawrence like core.
Yes,
like, that's exactly.
And don't
like,
don't be with that zero. Come see a hero. Or, like like it's just it's great. So he's one of my MVPs. Yeah. Similar to you, like even though you said you want to see more from her, and we can get into this now. Tori, to me, Peyton List is, that's her name, right? Peyton List,
yes.
Is so good in this part one of this season. And she's actually added a different edge to the show since she came in, I felt like, from the very beginning. Because it just feels like she treats the character a little bit deeper in terms of just the way her acting style is. And obviously the hardships that she's dealt with, including what you alluded to, Ella, where she loses her mother, which is in the, is that the last episode or it's...
It's the beginning of the last episode.
The beginning of the last episode. She loses her mother and she has this unbelievable rage within her and she's just trying to have this outlet and she almost really hurts Sam. Mm-hmm. And we get to a point where like Daniel's like, we have to stop the fight. Like you, like there's a serious issue happening and like you're a child, even though she's not, she's playing a child, but it's like, you're a kid. Like we can't, literally like you can't get your frustration out this way, like it's okay, like we're a family, we're here for you. And she's like, fuck that, I want to beat somebody's ass. And it's so real to like what people might feel in that moment. So Ella, I'll go back to you because I know you want to talk about it. How did you feel about that whole character moment for Tori and what you think might happen next for her?
When Tori came on the show in season two, I did not like her, and she kind of felt to me like a character who was just going to be around for like a season or two. And because like she was just like an absolute menace in the beginning. She caused a school fight by literally just like trying to rip Sam apart and all that. Like that whole school fight was her fault pretty much. And I know she like suffered the consequences and stuff like that. But basically, I think after that, the writers kind of decided like, hey, we kind of like this character. Maybe we should have her stick around. So then she developed like the juvie plot and the family plot. But I feel like from season two, like she got a lot better and more developed after that, because in the beginning she just felt like a character to be a villain and to push the other characters. But now she is this, she's like the deepest character in the show in this season, and I feel like everything that happened to her was so real and emotional, and her acting was phenomenal in that scene when she when they go up to her and she's like, my mom died. Like that was crazy because she knew what they were whispering about, and I don't think that she should have really gotten her anger out that way.
Yeah.
I don't know what your opinions are, but on who was right, Johnny or Daniel, because she would have like really hurt Sam, and with her development this season, that like that would totally go against everything she was trying to fix. And because her and Sam fixed their relationship and she felt bad for hurting her at the school fight, and you could see like that clear development.
Yeah.
So if she went back to that, that kind of makes sense, I guess, with going back to Cobra Kai, back to all the bad parts of her life. But that would have just totally taken that development away if she really hurt Sam, and she would have regretted that too after being blinded by rage.
Yeah, I agree. But, Michael?
Yeah, I definitely believe that Tori has been like a wild card. I agree. I also didn't really like her coming into the show. And I've grown to appreciate her just through the storylines a little bit more. I honestly had forgotten about like the whole family sort of background, just because we hadn't really seen too much of it for a little bit now. It was so much like focus on the drama of the relationship for a little bit. I thought it was really good how it played out. I thought her performance was one of the best performances we've gotten, honestly, in the entirety of the show. I do think that it was very needed for it to happen, especially knowing that Kreese is still like a major character in all of this, and knowing that they had such like a father-daughter relationship. And I just feel like, obviously knowing like how this season ended, where she's with him, it just kind of shows just how vulnerable she really is right now, to have not have anybody. And then that moment too with Johnny and Daniel was really important for that too, because it kind of showed how much they let their relationship get in the way of what they're trying to do for these kids. And that was like plain as day right there, where it was like Tori was like, you could see like, all right, you guys don't really even care about me, I'm over this. She quite literally said that and walked away. So I feel like it was so needed just for the show, obviously. Like it's such like a heavy beat to kind of like catapult us into the next season, or the next part, should I say. But I definitely feel like I don't know. I just definitely feel like it was needed. It was a bit rushed. I wish that we maybe got at least one scene with Tori and her mom, like in one of the previous episodes before it. You know, I think it was just like, here we go.
Other than the flashback, you're saying probably, right?
Yeah, other than the flashback, more just like a more modern scene where you see her still maybe taking care of her mom, or like maybe like a bed scene where she's about to go to like the dojo. Yeah. And just kind of, you know, something like that, so you remember that was still a thing. Because to me, again, it was like I had kind of forgotten about it.
It definitely blindsided you when it comes up. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. But I will say, and I think your point was perfect, I do think it's like the perfect catapult leading us into part two. Mm-hmm. I think that it ends in a way that, despite us being sick and tired of the show to a certain degree, it still has us intrigued enough to know what's going to happen next with her character. And I did love that we got back to the basics of, like, which I know, like you said, Ella, it's just a part of what their relationship is, but it's Daniel and Johnny. And it brings us back to that, where Johnny like is like, well, I found out what happened. And it's so interesting that he hears it from Daniel's wife. But he's like, so Miyagi was a deadbeat. Yeah. He was a piece of shit, apparently. And then Daniel like freaks out. And it's like he got to Daniel's core. And at the same time, Tori represented Johnny's core, where he was like, well, my father was a piece of shit. And like the way I got through all my, or when my, I think his father left him. I forget exactly what he says. Yeah, then his mom died. And so he talks about how, like, when my mom died, I got my frustration out this way. So he can entirely relate to how Tori feels. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, you get to see this rage in Daniel because he's a Miyagi glazer. but it's just like, I do think that it ends in a way that keeps us moving forward and keeping the momentum for part two. And I don't know. I think that despite it, us not necessarily loving this format, I think we're still going to have more to talk about and more to see in November when the show comes back. But I don't know. Is there anything else that we haven't touched on necessarily? Because I know we're only had 5 episodes. We've never been in this position before with Cobra Kai where we don't have
the answers.
A wrap up. We don't have all the answers. You know what I mean? So Ella, was there anything else that you thought that we hadn't mentioned?
When her mom was found dead, her hand was in a fist.
Oh, yes. Good point.
So, do you have any thoughts on that? Because
I think it could be a crease thing.
Yeah, I think it's a crease
thing. I think it could definitely be a crease thing. Part of me also thinks, though, that it could be a silver thing. I know that's crazy to say.
Because he's just been, like, MIA. I mean, I guess he's in prison or something, but they didn't even, like, show him at all.
Well, what I was going to say was, regardless of, I mean, Kreese is the antagonist of the show, and he's the antagonist of the franchise. But he's also flip-flopped, as he does. But the thing is, at the end of the day, the thing that is consistent with Kreese's character is that he cares about Tori.
That's true.
And Silver didn't believe in Tori enough to the fact that he paid off a referee. Mm-hmm. So part of me thinks that it might be a Terry Silver thing, because I cannot fathom us not ending the show with Terry. Because, and I do understand that he was the full-blown antagonist for 2 whole seasons.
Yeah.
But, and I forget the actor's name off the top of my head, but the guy who plays Terry Silver does such a great job at amping it up in this circumstance where we're at in the timeline of Cobra Kai, that it would just make sense to me if Terry was the one behind something like that. Kreese, it just doesn't necessarily fit his mold, but then at the same time, he cut a fucking snake's head off. So who knows?
I don't know. I feel like that scene just, like, took every humanity that he may have had, like, any redemption, and just, like, stripped it away. So maybe his humanity is just gone when it comes to Tori, too.
Yeah, so it's a possibility. I don't
know. Is it a coincidence that he was at the hospital when she left the hospital? Like, that's, you know?
That's a good point.
And people, and I think that maybe he did it to get Tori back. Because then maybe she wouldn't know where to go, so she'd go to Kreese because wouldn't.
Cobra Kai would be getting dark as fuck. I know. If this shit is.
But then there's also the possibility that maybe Tori figured it out, because there was a big time jump from when her mom died to the Seikai Taikai, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they were just picking the teams and the captains at that point. I feel like they're still probably weeks in between, so that just raises the question, like, did Kreese come back to meet everyone else? Who tried to reach out to her? Did they expect that she was going to be in Cobra Kai? I know, like, all the reactions were different, but maybe there was just something that we're not seeing yet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's good. I like that. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
If the show got that dark, I would actually be really hyped. Yeah. If it got to a place like that, like when you said people are going to die, like, I don't know, I can't, we talked about this. I don't know if we even said this on the episode or not, but the fact that Miguel was not fully paralyzed from what happened, and then we're going to jump from that to a character dying would be a little bit of a stretch for me, but I would like it. I would welcome that. I think it's, taking a darker turn would be unique to the show.
I feel like Tori's a dark character, especially with what just happened, so I wouldn't really be surprised. And the Seikai Tage is such a new thing that maybe more darkness could come from it, especially that new character that it, like, is supposed to be like the worst villain that they're going to have to face, Quan.
Yeah. Yeah, Quan's a psycho.
Yeah, I'm nervous for whoever has to face him. I think they're probably all going to have to face him somehow. I don't know. I think my biggest, like, excitement for next season is to see who wins, or who gets hurt, or who, like, I don't know. I think that's like my motivation to keep watching it, and that's why people are going to be excited and keep watching it, because they're just curious.
For sure. I couldn't explain it any better. Michael, you have anything else?
I definitely, there's a lot that could happen. I've kind of forgot that Terry Silver was even still like a character in the running that could have a major play on this. So that would be crazy if that was the case. And I would also like to see the show get a little dark. If I'm not mistaken, I think the later Karate Kid original movies start to get a little darker.
Like, the Karate Kid 3 with Mike Barnes is kind of crazy.
If I'm not mistaken either, Karate Kid 3, I think, wasn't this character from Karate Kid?
Terry Silver.
Maybe I'm thinking about...
So Karate Kid 2 is the Chosen movie.
And he's in Okinawa.
Okinawa. Oh, okay. Sorry. And then Karate Kid 3 is Mike Barnes and Terry Silver. Terry Silver brings in Mike Barnes to fight.
Got you.
And he's like a millionaire, and he has all this money, and yeah.
And so I definitely can see then, with this being now the last season, the approach in it getting darker, not only with Terry, knowing that we've seen crazy things from Terry already in the show, but obviously still having Kreese a much more now, like, crazier Kreese. Not only that, but like this whole other, like, I'm a little interested in this whole other dojo, the
Cobra Kai?
Cobra Kai. Is it Cobra Kai?
I think it's
Cobra Kai. Yeah, they're calling it Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai, yeah. I'm definitely interested, just because, like I said, they are very, you can tell it's going to get very dark with their fighting style. We'll see.
There's a lot. We talked about a lot, obviously, and it's only been 5 episodes. So we hope that you guys watching it enjoyed our conversation on season 6, part 1 of Cobra Kai. Let us know in the comments what you guys have thought of, or what you guys did think of part 1 of season 6. Obviously, there's a lot more to come. Ella dropped a bunch of theories on us, so let us know in the comments your guys' theories as well. If you could also give this video a like and subscribe to us. We are the Culture Wave Media Network. We cover all things film and television. We got a bunch of other things that we just wrapped up for you guys. The Acolyte, The Boys. We have our review on The Bear. Our Long Legs review is out. We're going to be covering Twisters and Deadpool and Wolverine very soon. So please be on the lookout for all that stuff. Also, you guys can follow us on social media, where you're at Cinema Wave Media and at _ Culture Wave Media on Instagram. You could also follow us at Cinema Wave Media on TikTok and Threads, as well as just Culture Wave on Facebook. Just signing off, I am Darian Scalamoni.
I am Ella Lambiazzi.
And I'm Mikey Peniston.
And we'll see you guys next time.